Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in it we see you fulfill your promises to your people. And so we pray now that as we explore this story, you'd help build in us a greater trust in you, that you are a God who fulfills your promises. And help us to look forward in hope to the day that we will dwell with you in peace. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now dismiss your servant in peace. I realise it's my last day here today, but I'm actually not talking about myself. This is Simeon's famous line from today's passage, which he says the moment he sees Jesus. It gives this story its traditional name in Latin as well. But it's got me wondering, perhaps at a time like this, like, what would I need to achieve, to see, to do, to experience in life, to be able to say at the end of it, well, truly, I go in peace. No regrets, no longings, nothing left to do. Now, Lord, dismiss your servant in peace. And I wonder what you would need. In my first job out of uni, I worked for some orthopedic surgeons in their office, and I remember needing to send off one of their CVs for a conference or something like that. And so I saw this man's CV, and he was near retirement, and this thing was about 60 pages long, full of qualifications, awards, experience, research papers, conference things, all of this. I've never seen anything like it. Would you need that to be able to say, I've done everything I wanted to do? Maybe as well, you'd also need a full collection of happy, healthy kids and grandkids. Maybe you'd need to know you'd made a real difference. You traveled the world. You've seen everything there is to see. What would need to be on your list? All of this has me wondering what it is about Simeon here that he just needs to give this baby, and it's not even his own child or grandchild, he just needs to give this baby a cuddle and say, well, there's nothing more for me to see, nothing more for me to do. Now, sovereign Lord, you may dismiss your servant in peace. What is it about Simeon and what is it about this baby that enables him to say this and truly mean it? That's what we're going to explore today as we wrap up our mini-series on the prayers of Christmas. In this passage in Luke's Gospel, Luke tells us several really important truths about who Jesus is. Luke is really big on showing how Jesus fits into and continues the promises and the stories of the Old Testament, and that's what we see here. But Luke hasn't just written a list of sort of theological truths with some cross-reference to Old Testament passages. What he's given us is a story. A story about real events and real people. And these powerful truths and promises have a real impact on these real people. And so what we're going to do today as we explore this story about Simeon and his song is think about both the prophetic nature of what we read here, but also the personal side to all of this. The prophetic and the personal. See how they connect. And also maybe have a bit of a reflect on how these big truths might be personal for you and me too. So first we'll meet Simeon. We'll see Simeon meet the Lord's salvation. And then secondly, we'll see Mary, the mother of Jesus, warned about the Lord's dividing line. So that's what we're going to do, the prophetic and the personal. So open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 22 now, if you've got one there. And the key verses will be on the screen as well. We start with a little bit of story to introduce Simeon's prayer and his message. And what we see as this story starts from verse 22 is that everything is as it should be. It's very ordinary. Joseph and Mary are doing what they're supposed to do as the new parents of a baby boy. They're taking him, their firstborn, to be dedicated to the Lord. They offer the sacrifices they should do, two small pigeons or two doves. And this marks them out as a humble family without much money. It's very ordinary, unremarkable. It's very Jewish, all as it should be. I can imagine, you know, Joseph and Mary are probably filled with that nervous, uncertain, sleep-deprived energy of new parents. But despite that, they are doing everything they should do. Nothing is out of the ordinary. Until Simeon weaves his way through the crowd. And now things are no longer ordinary. All right, I've got a photo up on the screen, right? Is it going to show up? Yeah, all right. Now, does anyone know who the two people in it are? One of them's already appeared in the kids' talk, actually. Who are these two people? Who's the grown-up? So the grown-up is Lionel Messi. He's shown up already, right? Probably the greatest ever football player. This was, though, taken back in 2007, when he was still just a rising star at Barcelona. So what's going on, right, is a few families in a certain neighborhood in Barcelona were randomly selected so their kids could have their photos taken with some of the players from the football team. I think this was all for a charity calendar or something. So this is one of those photos. Now, has anyone seen this story before? Does anyone know who the baby is? Yeah. Stephen, do you know who the baby is? Yeah. So the baby is a guy named Lamine Yamal. And we're not really a young church, we're not really a football church, so I imagine there aren't too many people who've ever heard of him before, but he's now 18, because the photo was taken back in 2007, you can do the maths, and he's probably modern-day Barcelona's best player. He's already won the European Championships for football with Spain. He was 16 at the time. If there's anyone in modern soccer who might come close to Messi's insane success, it's this young guy who now plays in Messi's old position at Messi's old club with Messi's old jersey number. So it's kind of eerie and weird that Messi had a photo with this guy when he was still a baby. And I know football teams scout their players young, but I don't think they scout them that young, right? And so I think the thing is that when Messi had his photo taken with Yamal, he would have had absolutely no clue, no idea at all, no inkling who this child would eventually become. I'm actually pretty sure, having read some articles on this, that Messi didn't want to be there at all. He didn't know how to hold a baby. It was very awkward and probably forgot it as quickly as he could after this whole thing was done. But on the other hand, when Simeon here gets his photo opportunity with the baby Jesus, he knows exactly who this child is, and he knows exactly who this child will be, and exactly what he will do. The Holy Spirit has told him that he will not die before he sees the Lord's Messiah, and the Holy Spirit has now led him towards this particular baby. The Messi and Yamal photo is eerie because of the coincidence, but Simeon's meeting with Jesus is something else entirely. Because this ordinary-looking baby in the temple is the Lord's Messiah. This is the promised king who would reign over not just Israel, but all the nations, the whole world, forever and ever. And Simeon knows this. But it goes beyond even this, as Simeon's song reveals. So in verses 30 to 32, he prays, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." This child is the Lord's salvation, prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the Gentiles and for the glory of Israel. As I said earlier, one of Luke's big theological themes, to get nerdy for a moment, throughout both his gospel and the book of Acts, is all about connecting Jesus to Old Testament promises. And by doing so, showing how his story is the Old Testament story. The Old Testament story is Jesus' story. And so, of course, Luke would make sure to highlight Simeon's song, which is just dripping with Old Testament flavor. Particularly drawing from the servant songs in the book of Isaiah, one of the prophets. And so here's a little snippet from Isaiah chapter 49. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. This baby is the Lord's salvation, no longer some distant political deliverance, as the nation of Israel often imagined the Lord's salvation would be. Instead, it's a person. A person who will be a light for all the world, to gather back into relationship with God, not only the people of Israel, but all peoples from every land, every tribe, and every tongue, that God's salvation may reach the very ends of the earth. As the servant songs continue throughout Isaiah, we see more and more just how this servant will accomplish this salvation, this regathering of all peoples back to God. I think Simeon knows this, based on what he says to Mary, which we'll get to in just a moment. He knows that this servant, this baby, this Messiah, will bring the Lord's salvation by taking the sin of all people upon himself. He will wash them clean with his own blood. This is how he will win the Lord's salvation for all people. And all of this here, this is the prophetic nature of Simeon's prayer, the truth that has been revealed to him by the Lord's Holy Spirit, which he is now revealing to Joseph and Mary, and indeed the whole world, because his song got written down and has gone to all the world. This baby is the Lord's Messiah, the suffering servant who will go to his own death willingly to save his people, to save all peoples, and bring them back to God. That's the prophetic side of things. But what does it mean to Simeon personally? Why does this truth in this moment lead him to say, well, now, Lord, dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation? I mean, on the one hand, it's clear the Lord has fulfilled a personal promise to Simeon. He has been told that he will see the Lord's Messiah before he dies, and now he has been told that he has seen the Lord's Messiah. The implication, I think, underneath this is that Simeon has been waiting for this a long time, most of his long life, to see this promise fulfilled. He's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. And throughout all this time, he has kept trusting God, throughout all of these long years of waiting, so that when he gets this little nudge here in the temple, he listens and obeys. I do think it's interesting, though, we're not told how old Simeon is. Imagine if he is actually a young man. It makes it even more sort of profound what he then goes and says. But it's easy to think, well, that's great for Simeon, but I've never had such an obvious sign from God, and nor do I expect to, and so he's got it easy there. I do think, though, that part of the reason why Simeon says, well, now dismiss your servant, is because as he prays, he is completing his service. This promise from the Holy Spirit that he would see the Lord's Messiah was also a responsibility that God was giving to Simeon, to find that Messiah and say, there he is. Here he is. God's promises are being fulfilled right here and right now in this child. This is the guy, which is essentially what he does as he takes Jesus up in his arms and prays that way. The temple was likely crowded at this time, but even if only Mary and Joseph heard him, it's one more important piece of evidence and testimony as to who their child really is. Simeon's promise was also Simeon's responsibility. And in praying the way he does, he fulfills that responsibility right then and there. The purpose of his life was to point to Christ. The purpose of his life was to point to the Lord's Messiah, and he has now finished his task, and so can retire, be dismissed. How many of us could truly say the same, that we feel this to be our purpose? The weight of this responsibility to point to Christ and say, this is the Lord's salvation. It's obviously going to look very different for us as it does to Simeon, but do we feel this as our purpose and calling to point to Jesus and say, this is it, this is the guy? And even in all this, I think Simeon's faith is remarkable. Remember, all he's seen is a baby, an ordinary looking baby, and he's probably only seen that baby do ordinary baby things, which really isn't all that much, maybe wiggle a little bit. But he can still say confidently, I have seen the Lord's salvation. Even though he hasn't actually seen the Lord save anyone yet. Such is his faith. A small promise fulfilled is enough for him to trust that the bigger promises will be taken care of. Seeing this small promise to him fulfilled is enough for him to say, yes, I trust, God, that you will take care of these bigger promises. That his own fate and eternity will be taken care of because Jesus is the Lord's salvation. That Jesus will go on to win reconciliation and restoration with God through his sacrifice. Simeon trusts in this, and so he can go in peace because he knows that he is going into peace with his Lord forever. I think this is important for us because although we probably haven't had such a clear and powerful personal promise made and then fulfilled like Simeon's had, we can still see the record and testimony of God fulfilling his promises, both small and big. And so, like Simeon, we can trust that God will take care of the rest, that he will take care of our eternity, that the promises he's made that we are still waiting on, even if it feels like we've been waiting an awfully long time, will one day be fulfilled because he's already kept his word so many times before. I think this then should reshape how we see our life and our purpose. Simeon knows his purpose was to point to the Lord's Messiah, and perhaps yours is too. Remember, this salvation is prepared in the light of all nations, a light for all people, that God's salvation may reach the ends of the earth, to quote Isaiah again. Just, you know, cheeky little missions plug there for you. Just think on it, you know. This is the Lord's salvation revealed to Simeon so that he might reveal it to us, to the whole world. He goes in peace so that we might trust in the Prince of Peace, Jesus. I do also want to draw our attention quickly to the few words that Simeon shares with Mary in verses 33 and 35. In verse 33, Joseph and Mary are there. They're marveling at what Simeon is saying about Jesus, what they're hearing. Remember, these are the same two that have just gone through all that stuff with the angels, the messages, the shepherds, the stars, all of that. And so this idea is not new to them. But this is a reminder that the lead up to and the night of Jesus' birth wasn't a strange fever dream. It was real. This is kind of third party verification, if you want to call it that. That this child is genuinely not only special, but something completely world changing. And as we've explored, Simeon's song expands the scope of what Jesus will do. It connects him to even more Old Testament promises that are all coming true in the baby that Mary holds in her arms. And so their own understanding of who Jesus will be, the promises he will fulfill, is being greatly expanded in that moment. But before they can start developing ideas of grandeur for themselves, right, to become those parents who profit off the back of a famous child, I don't think they would have ever done that, right? But just in case, Simeon takes Mary aside as he prays for and blesses them and offers her a warning of what's to come. He says, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This child, Jesus, will be the dividing line. Many in Israel will reject him, will speak against him, and so fall. But many will accept him and follow his call, and so will be saved. They will taste the Lord's salvation. And in this, the posture of every heart before God will be revealed. The dividing line as to whether someone is in or out with the God of all the universe is how they respond to this child, or really the man that this child will grow into. Which side of that line are you on? It is no small thing for this child to be this dividing line. And this means a sword will pierce Mary's own soul too. Here's something interesting for you, something significant, I think. In Simeon's prayer, I think he's clearly sort of alluding to and referencing Isaiah 49, the servant of the Lord being a light for the Gentiles so that God's salvation may go out to all nations. That was Isaiah 49, verse 6. But Isaiah 49, verse 7 says this. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers. Kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see you and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. The very next verse predicts that many will reject this servant. Many will despise and abhor him. God knew this would happen. He knew his chosen one would be rejected by many of his people. This theme is developed and expanded in the later servant songs, like the really famous passage in Isaiah 52 and 53, that makes it clear that this rejection is how this servant will actually win salvation and redemption for those who trust in him. And so from verse 3 of Isaiah 53, we see God say that this servant was despised and rejected by mankind. He was a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Further on, it says, he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. This is how Jesus will bring God's salvation to his people Israel and to many nations. The punishment that brings us peace. What enables Simeon to say, now dismiss your servant in peace, was placed on Jesus, and by his wounds, we are healed. And so a sword will pierce Mary's heart also. As she watches her baby grow into a man who is loved by some but hated by many. And as she watches this hatred lead to his death on a Roman cross, a sword will pierce her soul. Mary was there at the end too, watching her child as he died. But it is this death that will win salvation for Mary, for Simeon, for all those who choose Jesus and will therefore rise with him. This is the Lord's salvation through his suffering servant. And this is where it gets personal for us too. Because this servant is God's dividing line. This salvation, this reconciliation with God, this future hope of being able to truly depart this life in peace is only available through him. And so which side of that line are you standing on? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that through Simeon's song and Simeon's passage, we can learn more about your salvation, which you've accomplished in the sight of all the nations through Jesus and his death in our place, so that we might be brought back to you. We pray that we might trust in him, put our hope in him, confident in the hope that we have of dwelling with you in peace forever. And so we pray this now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.